Take your Bibles, if you would, and please turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews, chapter number 11. And we'll be preaching this evening on the unseen work of God. So Hebrews, chapter number 11. I know we are very circumstantially oriented people, are we not? We go up and down with the circumstances of life. And when we perceive things are good, we're good. But when we perceive things are bad, sometimes we're not good, right? And I think the key to it is a steady understanding that God's at work. You know, whether or not you see it in your life or around you, whether or not you sense it, whether or not you can put your finger on it, you can know it's happening. And I wanted you to take a look at these first three verses of Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Dear Lord, please help us this evening as we open up the scriptures together. Help us to rightly divide your word. I pray that you would help each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Sunday night crowd, if I were to have asked you ahead of time, what is Hebrews 11? Many of you would have responded that it's the hall of faith. There are many Old Testament saints that are mentioned here. As a matter of fact, almost exclusively, if not exclusively, Old Testament saints. There's some referenced at the end that you go might, who knows when, but exactly. But they're Old Testament saints that were that are referenced here and that are recognized as a testimony of faith in action. These are elders, the Bible tells us, who obtained a good report. If you look at chapter number 12 and verse number 2, he says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And so they were all, like we are, looking to Jesus. And through that, they obtained a good report through their faith and a good testimony through their faith. This chapter begins by describing faith. It tells us what faith looks like, which is kind of a funny thing to consider because, you know, I literally can't see your faith. When you think of it as an idea, I can't see it. I look at people that I know have, many of you at least, have made a profession of faith in Christ, but all I can do is take your word for it. I can't see it. But here in the Lord describes to us really what faith looks like. He says it's evidence. It's the substance of, it's the evidence of things not seen. And the great example, and so we are told in verse 6 that without faith it is impossible to please him. It says without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He makes it very clear that faith is the underlying thing that we must have in everything we do in order for it to please God. You want to please God with your life? Live by faith. You want to please God in something that you do? Do it by faith. But the very need for faith indicates that we are trusting in something that we cannot see. The Bible makes it clear that if we can see it, it's not faith. And so the Christian life then is a faith life. It's a life that we determine we're going to either live by faith or we're not going to live by faith. The great example of the unseen work of God that he describes in chapter number 11 is that of the work of creation. Do you notice it? He talks about faith and he says it's substance. It's the evidence of things not seen. And then we see verse 3, he says, "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." There's not one person. You might feel old this evening. But there's not one person in here that was there when God created the world. I've known some old people in my life. My great-grandmother lived to be 100 years old. I knew her. She didn't see. She saw the 1800s, but she didn't see the creation of the world. Abraham, you know, didn't see the creation of the world. You go Noah, before Abraham, he didn't see the creation of the world. It's interesting when you think about it, Adam didn't see the creation of the world. God didn't create Adam on the first day. He created Adam on the sixth day. Adam, I use this phrase here. I don't know exactly how it happened. This is just kind of how I imagine it happened. God formed Adam of the dust of the ground. The Bible says that. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The Bible says that. And he became a living soul. The Bible tells us those things. But I always imagine that when God did that, Adam woke up. I don't know if that's what happened or not, but that's kind of what I just see it in my mind. And when he woke up, he looked around him and he saw a great work that had been done. He saw the Garden of Eden. He saw light. He saw the sun in the sky. He at night would see the stars. He saw the moon. He saw the trees and bearing their fruit. He saw animals running around. He saw these things, but yet he didn't see how they got there. And so here in chapter number 11 of Hebrews, the chapter of faith, where the Bible makes it clear that without faith, it is impossible to please God. He opens up by describing what faith is, and he points us to the great unseen work of God that he did when he created this world. You know, the creation is a great testimony to the unseen working of God. Psalm chapter number, the 19th Psalm, I'll read to you the first three verses here. The Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." What an amazing thought. Did you know the sun that rose over Southington, Connecticut this morning, it also rose over countless people all around the world. Same sun. And you know, you and I, because we're believers, we've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you've done so. We look up and clearly know, hey, we know the God of heaven that put that there. Amen. What an amazing thing that he did. But you know that even unbelievers, when they see that sun come up in the morning, they have to make a decision about it. Yeah. And what it screams out to everybody, the Bible tells us that there is day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It is the great universal appeal of God, the great universal language of God. It breaks all language barriers. It breaks all cultural barriers, because everybody sees that same sun come up in the morning and go down in the evening, and they have to make a decision about God based on seeing that. They go out and we see the trees. They lose their leaves now in a few months. I know it seems like so far away. The days are shorter. It gets dark early, and you know, but spring will come, will it not? And inevitably, that spring will come, and green will begin to appear, and leaves will sprout, and blossoms will come, and some trees will produce fruit, and the ground will again produce good things to eat. And we look at all of those systems that are so consistent and so precise and that take care of us over and over. And you know what? Every person on every continent of every language, they have to make a decision about God because of that. Because while we did not see the creation, just like Adam, we see the evidence of the working of creation all around us. And by faith, we see and know that God's at work. He uses that to introduce his chapter here. This is a great reminder that God is always at work, even when we cannot immediately see him. God's always at work. The Bible tells us in the Psalms that he neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's never forgotten to show up for something. You ever forgotten to show up for something? I actually had a dream last night. that for some reason, you know, pastor's not here. I think, appreciate Brother Petrie taking care of my Sunday school class at 9:30 over there so I could be here with the 9 o'clock service. So maybe it was because, you know, the 9 o'clock versus 9:30 and, you know, my timing was all messed up. I dreamed that we were here and it was like people were coming in and they were sitting down and it was like 10 after 9 and we forgot to start the service. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I dream emotionally, especially when it comes to being late to something. My dad was just like, I am here early. If you come, it's hard to get here to church before me. I'm here 30 minutes at least early before every service. You say, oh, that's because you're a pastor. No, that's because I'm afraid of my dad, and he's in heaven. All right. It was the religion of the Boyle household. You be there 30 minutes early. And so I sometimes have had dreams over life where I'm going to be late somewhere, and that bothers me. I mean, anything. It was something that was drilled into me as a kid. You're not late. And so I'll have these dreams that I'm going to be late. Why am I telling you all this? I'm trying to. You know, we have these. Anyway, the unseen work of God. We have these, the circumstances that we face. We go, all right, you know, is God really at work? And he's at work. He's never late. There we go. That's what. I'm just telling you a secret. It's bad when you laugh at me because I just keep going. I can't stop. But what I was saying, God's never late. We worry about that. We have to set alarms. We have to set reminders. And you know, I'll set reminders if it's something unusual out of my normal schedule. I'll set like 3 or 4 alarms to make sure I'm there. But God's never late. Sometimes we act like that God just forgot to show up. We act like, you know, why is this going wrong? I mean, where is God at right now? He's there. You know, how could this have happened? How could X, Y, or Z have taken place? How in the world could we possibly be at the point where we're at? You know, surely God forgot. Now, we wouldn't say that, would we? But we live like that. And there's a lot of people and a lot of even believers, and all of us deal with it, where it's so easy to look at the circumstances of life that are around us. And we're good enough Christians to we would never say these things, but we can sure start to act like it, can't we? Oh, surely, you know, God couldn't be behind this. Listen, friend, faith understands that even though I might not understand, that God is at work and he has a plan that he is working. So, this is a great reminder of that. We may not understand the circumstances we face, but God is always at work, and that we can trust. A great example of this in the Bible is Joseph. I always think about Joseph when I go and contemplate this subject. But Joseph, if you will remember, he went through all of the turmoil with his brothers, and then he's the man in Egypt. I mean, right under Pharaoh. And he's taken care of them, and he has taken care of the ones who had turned their back on him, had betrayed him. And he is doing for them what needs to be done, provide for them. And then their father dies. And oh boy, those brothers are in trouble now. And they, or at least they think they are. And they come to Joseph and they throw themselves before Joseph and they plead with him and they give the old, you know, dad wanted you to take care of us, right? You know, we'll be your servant. And they're groveling before him, thinking that now because our dad is gone, that Joseph is going to exact revenge on us. But listen to what Joseph told them, Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. I'll read it to you. He says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Right. You know, even if there are people who have genuine thoughts of ill intent against God's work and against God's people, By faith, we understand that God's big enough to do a work to override what they're doing in order to bring about his end to pass. You know, a lot of people just tore up about things. Oh, how could it be this way? Friend, listen, by faith, understand God's at work, even when we can't see him. First of all, I want you to notice, we'll stay anchored to this Hebrews 11 passage. I'll probably go to a place or two, but we'll stay anchored there. I want you to notice, first of all, that God's unseen work is good. God's unseen work is good. He uses the creation here to describe that which is seen being made by that which is not seen. And so I want you to hold your finger there, but go to the very first chapter of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter number 1. Now, many of you here, you would know this perhaps, you listen online even, you would know this, but I just want you to see it. God in his creative work, as he began to work, the Bible says in verse 4, for example, and God saw the light, that it was good. You can go down to verse number 9. It says, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was what? It was good. You could see it again in verse number 18 if you're not convinced. He talking about the sun ruling over the day and the moon ruling over the night. And the last part of the verse says in verse number 18, and God saw that it was what? Good. You could go to verse number 21, talking about the whales and the moving things upon the earth and the fowl, the winged fowl. And the end of the phrase, end of verse number 21, and God saw that it was what? Good. Go again to verse 25, just in case we're not convinced. We're talking about the cattle, all those things, creeping things upon the earth. And God saw, last phrase, and God saw that it was what? Good. And then at the end of it all, verse number 31, the Bible says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. We can get so convinced sometimes that nothing good can come out of a certain circumstance that we lose the fact that God is always working and what God is always doing is always good. Just because we cannot see it does not negate his goodness. And certainly there can be things that we are made uncomfortable about in our present circumstances, but that does not negate the fact that the good God of heaven is doing a good work, even if we can't fully put it all together in our finite existence. So he is good. His work is good. When God finished the creation, even, he said it was very good. But what happened? Sin messed things up. You know, the problems of this world, they're not God's problems, they're sin's problems. But aren't you glad that when sin messed things up, when sin entered into the world, that God didn't just go, oh boy, you know, what do we do now? No, God immediately revealed to them a good plan that he would bring about to redeem mankind from their sin. See, man's sin messed it up. We continually deal with the repercussions of man's sin. And by the way, that's not unique to 2020. Humans have been dealing with the repercussions of man's sin since man sinned. And yet here we are still dealing with those repercussions, but don't let the repercussions of man's sin distract from the fact that God is still at work and he is doing a work that is good. In James chapter number 1, verse 17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He said, every good gift, if it's good, it's from God. Every good gift is from above. Psalm 52 and verse 1 says, why boastest thou in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. You know, friend, God's still on the throne. And he's still at work. And the work that he is doing is still good. Say, well, my circumstances aren't good. But God's at work and he's still doing good.
Right.
You think there were times in the pit for Joseph that the circumstances were not good? Of course. I mean, nobody here would volunteer to go down into that pit. There were probably spiders down there. Nobody here would volunteer to go to an Egyptian prison. That wasn't good. But was God at work? There probably was not. I don't know. We know God helped Joseph along the way through some dreams and revealing some things to him along the way. But there probably was not one point along his journey in the pit or on his way to Egypt or in Potiphar's house or in the prison. There was probably not one point along the journey where Joseph could have sat down and written out the whole plan and gone, this is how it ends. The circumstances would have been too overwhelming. But somehow through all of that, he had faith that even though I can't see what he is doing in the moment, I know he is at work and what he is doing is a good thing. God's work, his hidden work, we can be convinced is always good. We need to see beyond the circumstances of life and understand that God is still doing a good work. You know, friend, we've got to be careful about how we speak about our circumstances in day-to-day life around the next generation around us. Because if we're not careful, we'll convey to them that there is nothing good, when that's not true as long as God's on the throne. God is good and his hidden work is good. The second thing I want you to notice is that God works from hopelessness to hope. God works from hopelessness to hope. The scene in Hebrews chapter number 11 that is painted prior to God's, is God's creation. We've discussed that, Hebrews chapter 11. It talks about God's creation. But if you remember back to Genesis 1, we won't turn back there, but the Bible tells us that God created the heaven and the earth. And then the Bible tells us that the earth was without form and void. And the Bible tells us that there was darkness. Now, that's just how it was. That's an accurate assessment by God, of course, at what the situation was. But there was darkness until God moved. And then what's the first thing he did? He brought light. That is a great picture of how God works. He takes dark situations and makes them light. He brings light into dark situations. He takes hopeless situations and he works in ways that we can't even fathom to turn those hopeless situations into situations that are full of hope. Because man sinned, this world was plunged into a constant state of hopelessness. However, God continued to work to bring hope to a lost world. We were sinners, hopeless. But because of God's working, we now have hope because we've trusted Christ as our Savior. You might never have done that. Might be somebody listening on the internet who's never trusted Christ as Savior. You would say, I am hopeless now. Friend, remember, there's hope and there's a God that's done a work that you don't see, but he did it. He tells us about it in his word. He died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and he rose again for your sins. And if you will by faith trust him, you know what? You can go from hopelessness to hope.
Amen.
It always works that way. You know, the Christian life, it's not a series of mountaintop experiences, friend. Well, the one that the Bible describes is after God's own heart, David. He wrote the words, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Does that mean that David, when he walked through life's dark valleys, he looked over and he saw a personal manifestation of God with him? No, but he by faith knew he was right there. See, God works from hope to hopelessness. We are constantly being challenged with the hopelessness of this world and how that fits into the plan of God. But rest assured that even when we can't see him, he's still at work. you know, there's a lot of people, and maybe just doing what I do, you talk to a lot of people that are just hopeless. I mean, that are just struggling. You know, I saw something. I shared this with a few people. I saw something that was disturbing recently. It was a study that was done about anxiety in young people and teenagers. And it said that young people today, that teenagers today, suffer on average, and this isn't every person, I mean, this is one of those broad studies, you can, you know, always take those things with a grain of salt, but said on average that young people suffer with the same level of anxiety today as asylum patients did in the 1950s. I mean, that's a troubling thought. Why is that? They've been given everything except real hope. Young people, listen, there's hope. Listen, I've lived in and some, there are some in here who have lived darker ones, but I've lived some dark days on this earth. But I can look back now at each one of them and go, you know what? God was at work behind the scenes.
Amen.
I didn't know exactly what he was doing, but I can look back now and know, boy, he was at work. Whether on the bright days or whether it's on the dark days, I know that there's a God who's a God of light who is at work behind the scenes, even when I can't see him. And my faith knows he always works from hopelessness to hope. There might be somebody in here that's struggling with that. You've lost hope. I don't know, you know, what area it might be in, but you've lost hope. Listen, friend, remember by faith that God is doing a work. It's a good work, and he always works from hopelessness to hope. Don't give in to the hopelessness. Press forward by faith. I imagine that Joseph in that pit had many days of hopelessness. As the days ticked by and the hours, I mean, think about the progression in the pit initially. You know, he's there. You know, come on, fellas, you can get me out of here now. All right, ha-ha, fellas, funny joke. You know, get me out now, guys, I won't tell Dad about it. Guys, then the hours started to string together, and then suddenly he's being brought out, and now it's with these merchants. And then the hours have turned into days, and the days have turned into weeks, and the weeks have turned into months, and the months have turned into years. Don't you think that there were probably times in that journey where Joseph had a sense of hopelessness? But through it all, he understood this: you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Even in the darkest day of Joseph's life, there was a God that was at work behind the scenes who always works from hopelessness to hope. From the very creation of the world, he moved on that which was dark. We are programmed as people to be kind of repulsed by the dark. And when's the last time you've had a kid that came running into your room at 8 o'clock in the morning going, "Mommy, I'm scared of the sunlight"? It might happen. But there's a reaction there to the dark. But God, in the very first act on this world, he moved upon that which was dark and he made it light. And then that pattern is seen all throughout when man sinned. It was hopeless, but he came in and provided hope. And throughout the characters of Scripture, many of them who are recorded in Hebrews chapter number 11, they faced hopeless situations. Noah, the Bible says he moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. His entire civilization was about to be wiped out. Hopeless. But God works from hopelessness to hope, and he did so through Noah. And he's done so time and time again. I want you to listen to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, "For our light affliction." Now, let me just pause there for a second and remind you who wrote 2 Corinthians. It was the Apostle Paul. At the point of this, he would already have been stoned at least once and left for dead. And yet when he takes up the inspired pen to write the second time to the believers at Corinth, what does he say? It's our light affliction. Think about that, Americans. Stoned and left for dead. And God worked a miracle. all the things that he had dealt with, and God had worked a miracle. And he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. He said it's a light affliction and it's temporary. It's a temporary thing. When we face the circumstances of life at their scariest, they're only temporary. And they are, in the whole scheme of things, they are but light. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In times of hopelessness, we know that we have hope, a greater hope. Verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, it says, get your eyes off of that which you see, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That was, and since I read it, I want to say the reference again, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verses 17 and 18. You might want to go and look at it, later, because Paul is really, he is putting all of life in context right there. It's our light affliction. Being stoned and left for dead, a light affliction. It is our light affliction. It is temporary. The things which we see, they're but for a moment. Preached on Wednesday, James, our life is a vapor. The things that we see, no matter how weighty it might seem, it is but for a moment. It'll all be over. It's but for a moment. And so the things then which are seen, they are triumphed over, which is what he's telling us. They are triumphed over by the things which we do not see. So how do we tap into those things which we do not see? It's by faith. See, God's at work. He's doing a good work, and he always works from hopelessness to hope. And then the third thought out of Hebrews chapter number 11 is kind of the thread that is woven throughout all of this. And that's faith connects us to that unseen work of God. Amen. It's faith. That's the connection. Faith, the Bible says, is the evidence of things not seen. This plays out in the lives of the believers who are about to be described throughout this chapter. Noah, for example, I mentioned him already, but it says in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Noah was given a glimpse about what was going to happen to the world that was around him, and God gave him the work that needed to be done. And we think of Noah's life and the lives of many of these people as being these constant, dynamic interactions with the Lord all the time. But I don't think that's the way it was. I think God told Noah to build the boat, gave him the instructions, and there were many days where Noah swung a hammer, never heard the voice of God. But you see, by faith, he understood that God was doing a work behind the scene. And then in order to get on board with that work, he needed to build a boat. And so that boat became the visual manifestation of Noah's faith. You want to see what Noah's faith looks like? It looked like a boat that he built. It looked like the ark. And as he did that, he tapped into the unseen work of God. He's recorded now forever for all to read and see as an example of one who by faith in a wicked generation. You know what the problem of that generation was? It wasn't that God was going to judge them. The problem of that generation was the wickedness that was there. And even in the midst of a wicked generation, Noah saw that there was a God in heaven who had shown a light of hope. And by faith, he was going to do what God had given him to do. It takes faith. 2 Corinthians 4, which we already have read, made it clear that we look by faith for the eternal things that are not seen. Dr. Clarence Sexton used to say, or probably still does, but when I said heard him, he used to say it, but he'd say, remove all secondary causes and see God at work. We get so blinded by the circumstances that it obstructs our faith in being able to see that God could even possibly work, much less the fact that he actually is at work. Joseph learned this lesson, as we've referred to him many times, and it got him through the pit, and it got him through the prison, it got him through Potiphar's house, and it preserved him all the way to the house of Pharaoh. What was it? Faith. It wasn't that he felt good about it. I wouldn't like being put in a pit. There's no story of him having a personal time of rejoicing in the prison, but his faith knew that God was at work, even when he couldn't see it. Job, God many times in scriptures records things for us that are dramatic, and what I mean is you read it and you go, wow, how in the world? But God does so and preserves it for us to teach us a lesson, and Job is one such person. I don't think there's ever been a person outside of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that suffered more on this earth than Job. And God used him to show us some things. In Job chapter number 23, a speaker this week in chapel referred to this passage. But in Job chapter 23 and verse 8, he says, "Behold, I go forward, but he," this is Job speaking, "I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him." He couldn't see God. He didn't know where God was. Verse 9, on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. He goes on to say, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." There seems to be, in that verse, a lot of doubt in Job's voice, but did you catch his faith there? I've thought of this, and I've been familiar with this, but I don't know that it really clicked, his faith that's represented there. We see the doubt. It says, "I go forward and backward. He's not there. I'm looking ahead, I'm behind, I look everywhere, I can't see him, he's not there. Right hand, left hand, he's not there." But did you notice what he said in verse number 9? He says, "On the left hand where he doth work." See, even in that darkest time of Job's trial that God recorded for us to learn and to glean from, even from that darkest time, we see glimpses of Job's faith. He's going, looking around and going, "I can't see him. I don't know where his will is right now. I don't know where his manifest presence is right now." But he said, "I looked here on the left where he doth work." He said, "I can't see him, but I do see him at work." And friend, there are times just like we never saw the creation. We weren't there when he said, "Let there be light." We were not there when he formed Adam of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. We weren't there for those things, but we can look and go, "I see the evidence of God at work." And just like that, there will be times in our life where we look around and we go, "I can't see him." But by faith, we can see the evidence of him at work. You know what I see right here in front of me? I see the evidence of God at work. Say, "Well, is God, is he judging our country?" That's his business. I don't know, but I can see him at work. I see him in the life of a child that had somebody give them the gospel and they trust Christ as Savior. You know what? That's evidence that God's at work. He's not slumbering. He's not asleep. He's not forgotten about us. As a matter of fact, if this is possible, I think sometimes God probably, I say this in a respectful way because I don't know exactly how this would work, but sometimes he's got to kind of snicker at us and go, "Haven't they ever read the Bible about what I have brought other people through?" I mean, there's this phrase. I think, the internet invents all sorts of phrases, but I think you know what I'm saying. There's this thing that people say, first world problems. And so many times we get all wound up by things that are like even first world problems. And there's a God in heaven who's at work behind the scenes. He's going, listen, just open the Bible and look at it. There's been a lot of folks who I have gotten through a lot more than what you're having to deal with. I'm at work. You need to believe me. We cannot always see what he is doing. But friend, listen, we can always trust what he is doing. Because it's good. Say, well, how? I don't know how. That's up to him for the how. Well, you know, what's the outcome? Well, you know, I can turn in the scriptures and show you some prophetic answers to those questions, but in the immediate time frame, I can't answer those questions about what, you know, what's going to happen, but I know he's at work and I know it's going to be good. Well, what if it gets worse? Oh no, God will probably just panic then. Of course not. Nobody in here would say that, but you know what? Sometimes we can act like that, can't we? And we got to realize, Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter of faith, it started with things being made by things which do not appear. It started with a reference to the great unseen work of God in creation, that we see the evidence around us and we know that there is a creator. It started there, and it's a reminder that even on the darkest days of our life, God is still at work. Dear Lord, we thank you for